Welcome to the Anesthesiology Journal podcast, an audio interview of study authors and editorialists.
Hello, I'm Jim Rathmel, professor of anesthesia at Harvard Medical School and chair of the Department of Anesthesiology, Perioperative and Pain Medicine at Brigham and Women's Hospital. I'm the interim co-editor-in-chief of Anesthesiology, and you're listening to an anesthesiology podcast that we've designed for physicians and scientists interested in the research that appears in the journal. Today, we're going to talk with one of the authors of an original research article that appears in the June 2023 issue. With us today is Dr. Matthias Magard. Dr. Magard is a physician scientist who completed his MD degree in 2020 and is completing his PhD degree later this year at the University of Copenhagen, working in the Center for Anesthesiological Research in the Department of Anesthesiology, Zealand University Hospital, Køge, Denmark. Dr. Magard is one of the authors on an article that appears in the June 2023 issue of the journal, and it's titled Perineural and Systemic Dexamethasone and Ulnar Nerve Block Duration, a Randomized Blinded Placebo-Controlled Trial in Healthy Volunteers. Dr. Magard, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, hello, Jim. Thank you very much for having me. I've been very excited to join you today.
Dr. Magard, congratulations on the publication of your study. Let's start with a little background about prior studies that examined use of dexamethasone to prolong the duration of peripheral nerve blocks. You start your article by telling readers that dexamethasone administered perineurally or systemically prolongs block duration when used as an adjunct to peripheral nerve blocks in patients undergoing surgery. I want you to address a few questions that come to mind. What's the magnitude of that block prolongation? Does it occur with all local anesthetics and or local anesthetic adjuvant combinations? And what are the limitations of prior studies that your new study addresses?
So I will just start with the first part of your question. So what is the magnitude of the prolongation with the dexamethasone on block duration? So both perineural and systemic, that is intravenous dexamethasone, has been assessed in many systematic reviews with meta-analysis. And for perineural dexamethasone, the increase in block duration has generally been found to be somewhere between 4 and 7 hours. I think most of them are around 6 hours. And the durations for systemic dexamethasone are quite similar, of up to about 6 hours. When you compare perineural and systemic dexamethasone indirectly, that might seem like pretty equal block prolonging effects. But when you compare them directly, the effects vary quite a bit. And I think most studies have a favor for perineural dexamethasone. And some find no evidence of a difference between perineural and systemic dexamethasone. But generally, it appears that the perineural administration offers a little bit longer lasting block of up to a few hours. Many of these systematic reviews have conducted subgroup analysis according to dose of dexamethasone, the type of local anesthetic, whether it be short, medium, or long-acting. And it appears that there's not really a difference between the type of local anesthetic if it has been already mixed with epinephrine, for instance. And it also appears that dexamethasone, regardless of dose, increases the block duration. So to my knowledge, there's not really that much of a difference. There might be individual differences, of course, but generally dexamethasone prolongs block duration. And then the limitations regarding the previous studies. The previous clinical studies, they have included patients that undergo surgery on one side of the body, and therefore they only receive a block on one side of the body. And then subsequently, the patients are randomized to either perineural or systemic dexamethasone, and perhaps with a placebo group as well. We do know that perineural dexamethasone is absorbed to the blood and therefore exerts systemic effects. And it might be that the absorption from the perineural administration is longer lasting, and therefore the dexamethasone is cleared slower from the bloodstream than that of an intravenous dexamethasone administration. So when these clinical studies are assessing perineural versus systemic dexamethasone, the difference in duration of the block might not be attributable to a direct perineural mechanism of action, but might just be a retracted or protracted systemic effect of the slower absorption of the perineurally administered dexamethasone. In our study, we are able to control for the systemic effects coming from the reabsorption of the perineurally administered dexamethasone to the blood. We developed a setup with the bilateral blocks that allows for this control of the systemic effects.
So this was designed as a non-inferiority trial. Can you explain what a non-inferiority trial is and the hypothesis that you tested in the study?
So in non-inferiority trials, we try to assess if a treatment is non-inferior or not worse than some other treatment. It is often used when two active drugs are compared, whereas the superiority designs are always used when you're comparing, say, a new treatment against placebo. And the hypotheses are a kind of flip between the non-inferiority design and the superiority design. In the classic superiority design, you have the null hypothesis that there is no difference between the treatment and placebo, whereas the alternative hypothesis is that the new treatment is better or superior to placebo. In the non-inferiority designs, the null hypothesis is that the new treatment is worse than the original treatment or the control treatment, whereas the alternative hypothesis is that the new treatment is not worse or non-inferior to the control treatment. In our case, we have a hierarchical hypothesis. So first, we demanded that both perineural and the systemic effects of perineural injection should be superior to placebo. And if they were both superior to placebo, then we would assess if systemic dexamethasone was non-inferior to perineural dexamethasone.
So your trial tested various combinations in 16 healthy volunteers. Can you explain to listeners how the study was carried out?
So the trial was designed as a paired crossover trial. So all participants received all combinations of local anesthetic and adjuncts. The participants attended 2 trial days with a minimum of 14 days apart to allow for adequate washout of trial medication. And on both trial days, all the participants received bilateral ulnar nerve blocks with bupivacaine. And then on one trial day, we randomized the participants to also receive perineural dexamethasone in one arm and saline in the other arm in addition to bupivacaine. We termed the first group the perineural condition and the second group the systemic condition. So the systemic condition or the systemic arm would be affected by the dexamethasone that was absorbed from the contralateral arm in which it was administered perineurally. And then on the other trial, the participants were randomized to also receive lidocaine in one arm and saline in the other arm in addition to bupivacaine. We termed those the lidocaine arm and the placebo arm. So we just needed the placebo arm in order to assess if the perineural and systemic dexamethasone conditions would actually increase block duration. And then we had to also block the other arm to preserve blinding. And therefore, we also incorporated the lidocaine arm to assess what happens to a block duration when you combine a short and a long-acting local anesthetic.
Yeah, so pretty crafty design to get at the question. What did you learn in the study?
Well, we learned that only perineural dexamethasone seemed to provide a longer block duration than placebo, at least statistically. The block duration was approximately 1 hour longer with the perineural dexamethasone condition, while there was no statistically significant effect of the systemic dexamethasone condition.
Were there any limitations to your study?
So one of the proposed mechanisms for the effect of dexamethasone on block duration is through the anti-inflammatory properties of dexamethasone. So the primary limitation in our study was the use of healthy volunteers without any inflammation caused by either trauma or surgery. So we might not have been able to show the effects of dexamethasone in this experimental setup where there is no inflammation.
So what do you conclude? What's the take-home message for practicing anesthesiologists about use of dexamethasone as an adjunct to prolong the duration of peripheral nerve blocks?
So we concluded that only perineural dexamethasone increased block duration, and this is in contrast to the many clinical studies that have shown that both systemic and perineural dexamethasone can increase block duration. We hypothesized that if there was any direct perineural mechanism of action that was not attributable to the anti-inflammatory properties of dexamethasone, then we would also be able to see this block prolonging effect in our healthy volunteers. And we saw a small effect. We do not believe that it was a clinically significant effect. And I know it's dangerous to talk about a clinical effect when we are using healthy volunteers, but the 1 hour increase in duration, well, I believe it hardly means anything in a clinical context. So I think we're back to the clinical studies, and we have to decide whether or not we should use perineural dexamethasone, which is off-label for perineural injection. And if it contains preservatives, it might have nerve-damaging effects. So I think people should use systemic dexamethasone as it was intended.
Dr. Margot, tell us what comes next for you and your research group. I know you're going to be completing your thesis and defending your thesis later this year. What comes after that?
So my thesis, apart from this healthy volunteer study, also contains two clinical trials and also one systematic review. We just finished recruiting in the trial that we named Adjunct 1. It's about oral dexamethasone in two different doses, 12 and 14 milligrams versus placebo, in 180 patients undergoing surgery of the forearm or hand. And the primary outcome is the duration of analgesia. And we're conducting a similar trial in patients undergoing foot and ankle surgery, but we are testing the effects of combining dexamethasone and dexmedetomidine. And we're just one patient short of completing the trial with 120 patients. And then the systematic review is about the combination of dexamethasone and dexmedetomidine. So that's next in our research group. And I think we can finalize most of these projects prior to summer.
Fantastic. I hope today's discussion will lead many of you listening to read this new article that appears in the 2023 issue of Anesthesiology, where you can learn more about the use of dexamethasone as an adjunct to prolong peripheral nerve blocks. John Wanderer and Holly Endy from Vanderbilt University also created an infographic that's titled Building Blocks, Studies of Adjunct Perineural versus Systemic Dexamethasone in Peripheral Nerve Blocks, that summarizes the findings of this study and several previous studies examining the adjunct systemic versus peripheral use of dexamethasone. Dr. Margard, thank you for joining me today and for the terrific explanations.
Thank you very much for having me, and thank you for letting me present our research.
You've been listening to the Anesthesiology Journal Podcast, the official peer-reviewed journal of the American Society of Anesthesiologists. Check anesthesiology.org for an archive of this podcast and other related content.